The Blooms Not Asked For. A Murderbot fan fiction written by Eulogy. Read by God of Laundry Baskets. It is rated Gen. When Rati felt the first roots taking hold of his alveoli, he told himself that he must have caught a respiratory illness. Shortness of breath and chest pains aside, there were no other symptoms. There was no overflow of mucus in the sinuses, no fever, no throat soreness, no aches nor chills. There was only the soft feeling of muffled air, as if a heavy blanket were laid upon his lungs, and the pinpricks of pain, like needles, pierced throughout his lungs. He was flossing his teeth when a shock of brilliant blue came away on the thread. He looked at it, that limp blue wetness, the crushed film of a flower petal's flesh. He reached into his mouth with one finger, scraped behind the gums of his upper molars, and withdrew an unidentifiable, soggy blue blossom. He flicked it into the little garbage bin next to the toilet and continued flossing. He met Gunthryn for lunch that day and coughed into a patterned handkerchief. The kerchief was hand-stitched with an overlapping pattern of diamonds. It was a gift from an ex who had moved to the planet's face and who still sent the occasional letter. Gunthryn's expression was evaluative when Rati surfaced from the coughing fit. There were bits of blue crushed into the kerchief's creases, and Rati quickly tucked the square of cloth away. "Who is it this time?" Gunthryn asked. "Or who are they, if it's a plural situation?" "It's just a virus," Rati answered, so very calm and unaffected. At this, Gunthryn's brows knitted. "I see. And you wanted to catch lunch with me so that you could share the infection, I take it." His tone, dry, sardonic. "I'm on the mend," Rati said stoutly. Then he winced. Another sharp staccato of pain stabbed his chest and cleared his throat. His tongue caught some loose film of something in his mouth, which he swallowed. It would shrivel to nothing in the acid of his stomach. Gunthryn sighed. "It's a miracle you survived to adulthood, considering how easily you fall for people and how determined you are to deny it every time. If I need to drag you to the emergency counselor again..." He trailed off, significantly, to which Rati only responded with an insolently loud slurp of his drink. Gunthryn was referring to the time, the once, when Rati came down rather hard with a crush on Gunthryn himself. Being forced to admit it to Gunthryn's face in the cold light of an emergency counsel's stark professional office, all while half-suffocating and retching up carnations, it was a memory that still struck Rati with embarrassed dread and tight-chested wheeze on the odd occasion, such as right now. Rati was a long-time sufferer of one of the most aggressive cases of strangle love that any medical professional had ever seen. He was a participant in multiple studies on the disease. He knew all the therapies and coping strategies, could recite them as easily as any health comms approved education module on the topic. Coping with strangle love. 1. Recognize the feeling. 2. Accept it as it is. Accept that it is not wrong. It is only an imperfect human impulse, whether lovely, embarrassing, ill-fated, or otherwise. 3. Reach out to the person you are lovesick for, or, if that is not feasible, privately come to terms with the fact that not all whims and desires must live up to their ultimate fantasies. 4. Drink plenty of fluids and stay warm. But none of that was applicable this time. Rati only had a virus. It was a virus. He'd caught something just on the trailing end of the cold season. He would be fine in a week. The mere fact that he was a documented case study on lovesickness in 2 published journals did not mean that every time he had chest pains or had bits of blueberries stuck in his teeth, it was necessarily a manifestation of unrequited, unadmitted love. I just don't want to see my friend nearly die of being an idiot again, Gunthryn said. Is it me? I told you, it's fine if you feel that way, but... Yes, I know it's fine, Rati snapped, a little harsher than was characteristic. And it isn't you. We are fine. It's a virus. Gunthryn sighed. 2 weeks later, Rati was in his bathroom, retching fistfuls of perfectly vibrant forget-me-nots into the toilet bowl. He spat, flushed, watched the flowers spin. Every inhale was a labor, like a cloud of glass shards and cotton dragged through his lungs. And every exhale was a violent, seismic fit of coughing blue blooms and red blood. He was exhausted. He was ignoring his feed messages, miscellaneous invitations to events from friends and other loved ones, plus a flood of sharply worded worries from Gunthryn. There was a knock at his apartment door. Then in the feed, from SecUnit, "You have 10 minutes to let me in before I let myself in." Rati wasted no time in imagining a frenzied escape plan that involved dislocating his shoulders so that he could crawl out of his apartment through the ventilation system in the walls. After a moment, he discarded the plan as impractical. His shoulders were not as young as they once were, to speak nothing of the flexibility of his spine. Of course, of all the people on the station to send to his door, of course Gunthryn had picked SecUnit. Rati did not respond to the message. Instead, hurling up a record-breaking cascade of flowers into the toilet. They floated, clumping together, coating the inside of the bowl. He flushed them, watching them swirl. He blinked, and SecUnit stood next to him, a drone staring down at where Rati had his cheek laid upon the toilet seat. The shame was like a fever, his whole face and skin burning. SecUnit was seeing him like this despite all his efforts to keep it hidden. SecUnit said, "I'm going to kick Gunthryn's ass for making me come here and watch you puke Flora into a poop chute." Rati half wanted to laugh at that, but felt too rotten. He drew a painful breath of air and spat up a few more flowers. SecUnit said, "I thought you were supposed to be the emotionally balanced one. Why are you sitting here having shitty, unprocessed feelings about someone who doesn't love you back?" He groaned and shielded his eyes with his hand. What SecUnit did not realize, of course, was that emotional balance was often something that came with painstaking practice. Rati was past pretending this was a respiratory infection, at least. But he was not past the ugly mix of petulant desire, of embarrassment, of terror at being shunned if SecUnit found out, a frustration at himself that he wanted something so badly that he would never have. Desperation to not put SecUnit in that uncomfortable position of rejecting him. And it was that blue amalgam of all those things that he kept hurling up into the toilet was the fevered pitch of his own blocked-up feelings and his refusal to come to terms, which were strangling him. He wrestled with a massive, selfish, terrible creature making a home and a museum in his respiratory system and whispered, "It's you." Sec Unit responded after one heartbeat, "Oh." Rati uncovered his eyes. Sec Unit hadn't stomped out of the small bathroom in disgusted retreat. Neither had Sec Unit knelt down to the floor and pulled Rati close in an embrace. It was still standing there, its eyes pointed at the sink faucet, its one drone hovering above him, watching him. So often, it is the unextravagant, mundane middle way of things, a gentler relief, a softer disappointment. Sec Unit said, awkwardly, "Gunthrin said this happened before when you had a crush on him." Technically, Rati still had that crush, or half a crush at least, but he was not about to argue the specifics just now. It wasn't carnations he was dealing with just then. It continued. "Another mark against him for making me come deal with this. If you can't get up and get to an emergency counselor, I'm going to have to carry you." Rati inhaled, and it was yet like cutting glass, but not quite as raw. He exhaled and coughed, but weakly, and the flowers that fell from his lips were limp. "I shouldn't have let it get this bad," he mumbled. "I'm sorry. I didn't want to make things awkward for you."
"Every fucking cycle of my whole weird life is awkward," Sec Unit interrupted him. "Big deal. Get up."
Rati got up. Sec Unit didn't carry him, but it did steady his hand. The end. Thank you for listening.